Good morning and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet and I'm here in the studio with Patty Fink and Laron Landis. Lambda Weekly is the oldest, longest-running gay and lesbian radio show anywhere in the country, but you'd never know it from our guests lately because for once again we have our straight guest on.
Well, hello there, I'm the straight guest again.
Our guest today is an old friend of the show, Melissa Grove. She is from Legacy Counseling Center. Legacy Counseling has been around for...
21 years.
I thought you were around for a long time. And you do counseling support for...
We do mental health and substance abuse treatment for HIV-positive people.
And what does that really mean?
Well, it's just regular mental health counseling, like you would go see a therapist and get individual sessions, or substance abuse treatment if you have an issue, but it's specifically tailored toward positive people so they get the absolute best care, you know, sensitive to their needs, GLBT-friendly, HIV-educated, and all the latest expertise on what's going on in the cutting edge of that sort of treatment.
And what we really wanted to talk about today was all of the psychological effects that having HIV does to somebody. So let's just jump right into it. First of all, people have a fear of just getting tested.
Yes, this is something that you hear commonly. People just don't bother getting tested. And I, you know, everywhere I go, if I get my car valeted or get the car washed or wherever I'm at, I'm asking people about, have they been tested? I ask them about HIV, just because it's such a broad problem that people don't think is a broad problem. They think it's narrowly affecting a certain group of people, has nothing to do with them.
And most people think Melissa's nuts because other people, will, when they're parking their car, will say to the valet, I'm only staying for a few minutes, so don't park my car in the back. Melissa hands the keys and says, have you been HIV tested?
Well, I try to be a little more, I try to work it in, although I will say one person at the car wash got a case of condoms out of the back of my car I've been trying to get rid of for ages. He got HIV education. And homeless people who ask for money, I give them money, but they get a full testing and an assessment and a case management referral. So I'm kind of a package deal.
Hey, they got to hear from somewhere.
Hey, listen, and I think if we're all talking about it, then it's going to be a lot more destigmatized, and it's a real problem, and people don't really think about it. So, yes, there's a lot of fear about being tested.
And it's, that just proves you're evangelical about your job.
Well, I, you know, to me, this is like the public health crisis of our age. You know, if you think back to the plague and the people who were helping those folks, you know, this is our own tsunami of a health crisis. If you think of the cost of HIV to the individual and to the society, I mean, really, the most staunch person should be very excited about HIV prevention because that reduces their tax cost, if you think about it. You know, when I write different grants, it depends who I'm writing to, but a lot of times I'm just purely sounding numbers. Look at how much HIV prevention could do to save our community money, to save you insurance money for your employees. And I try to use that angle. But, you know, the main thing is that people think this doesn't pertain to me. And I say, have you been tested? And they say, well, no, I'm not positive. I go, oh, you're a virgin. And they go, well, no, I'm not a virgin. I go, well, then there is a possibility you could be tested. Oh, no, I've been married for 10 years. No. I say, I have 7 women in my HIV-positive women's program in their 70s. Some of these married women have been married to the same man for 50 years. They keep getting sick. They go, well, what's up? You know, let's just test her for HIV. Why not? Guess what? Grandma's got AIDS. I would say, Grandpa got a hold of Viagra. Now Grandma's got AIDS.
Well, no, I thought I couldn't be shocked anymore. That's actually surprising. Well, not that just that elderly people contract AIDS, but really that late in age.
Well, and they may have had it for 10, 15 years. You don't know. So, you know, like I when I look at my little joke before, Grandpa got a hold of Viagra, now Grandma's got AIDS. Somebody once said, Viagra causes AIDS? Well, in certain situations, the answer is yes.
In a roundabout sort of way.
In a roundabout sort of way. But, you know, it's just very interesting. I've been doing this for 18 years off and on, and, you know, the population has changed, and it's all sorts of people now. And we started seeing more and more women. We started seeing more and more people of color. We started seeing more and more elderly people, more and more teens. And it's really not discriminating, I'll tell you that. You know, we get everything from, we've got welfare moms, yes, but we also have bank vice presidents and Baptist ministers and everything in between. And you'd be surprised at the folks. And believe me, no one is more surprised than that person who never thought they could get positive.
Okay, again, look of horror just came over Laurent's face. You know, it's funny because this is our fifth week doing the show early in the morning, and mm-hmm. I'm used to everybody's looks, and we're used to our hand signals with each other because we've worked together for years and years.
Years.
But these are new expressions I'm finding on faces at 7 in the morning, so you just said Baptist ministers. Laurent, ask your question.
Well, at Legacy, we're very careful about confidentiality. Luckily, living in the buckle of the Bible Belt, saying Baptist minister is not fronting anybody out. We've got plenty of them around.
Plenty
of them around, but believe me, you'd be surprised. And it really does affect a lot of different people from a lot of different walks of life. And, you know, that's the nice thing about Legacy is people can pick up the phone and they can call us, and I'm on the crisis line 24/7. You can always reach me 24 hours a day.
Obviously, the obvious reason for getting tested, the fear of getting tested, is that it's thought of, or it used to be thought of, as a death sentence. We know that's not true now. But what other reasons are people afraid to get tested?
Well, you know, I like what you just said. People think it's a death sentence, and I find it very interesting, the range of information. Some people think, oh, it's an instant death sentence, you'll be dead in a month. Other people think, oh, they've got a cure. And there's so much misinformation out there, it really is astounding that you could have such a range. But like you said, I'm glad you brought that up. That was actually the next point I wanted to make, is that people feel like, well, nothing can be done, so why bother? But the truth is that while that was true at the very, very beginning, that's absolutely not true now. With all the new HIV meds, in 96 they came out, and, you know, I had a very good friend who was taking 40, 50 pills a day. Now they have a med called a triplet. It's a once-a-day med.
Mm-hmm. But these meds are not a walk in the park.
Well, and, you know, obviously, let's just say the obvious here, don't get positive if you can help it. That would be better, you know. There's a lot of things that go along with it, but right now it is a chronicle. It's a chronic manageable disease to a certain extent. Now, there are things, you know, the things I say are almost all the way true, but obviously there are exceptions to every rule. But the meds now, let me tell you, because I open another program Legacy has is Legacy Founders Cottage. It's a 7-bedroom home in Oak Cliff, and we opened it to care for terminally ill AIDS patients. It was purely for people who were dying of AIDS. I opened it and ran it for 3 years, and everybody there who was sent to pass away. And I held the hand of many people as they passed away. Good morning. Cheerful topic, right? But it was a beautiful place, and it really provided them with a lot of love in a very difficult situation.
And comfort.
And comfort, absolutely. And so it was a very special place. And now we still have Legacy Founders Cottage, but now we're doing more transitional clients. People getting out of the hospital who are still very, very sick. They can come to us. We'll nurse them back to health, get them back home. Or people who their partner needs a caregiving break for a few weeks, or they have a business trip. And the person has to be sick. You can't just get that guy off your hands for a couple weeks, you know. It's got to be somebody who's in need.
Patty was just, she was thinking.
Who could I send? Who could I send over there?
Aaron, but no, she doesn't qualify.
It's a lovely, lovely home, and, you know, it's everybody gets their own room. It's hardwood floors, ceiling fans. You know, we're always looking for volunteers and food donations and gardening and repairs, so I'll just throw that little pitch in there, but it's a very special little place. It's not the volunteer job for everybody, but for certain people, it's a very, very special place. But, yeah, you know, in the old days when I started this 18 years ago and I was a young, fresh counseling intern, I looked at this guy. I thought, what am I going to tell him? How am I going to help him? There's really nothing. You know, they barely had AZT, and it was being given in too high of doses. Well, you know, I was able to help him, and over the years I've seen the progress, and it's so amazing. I mean, people just coming from death's door and running marathons. I mean, it's really amazing. So the meds are getting better and better and better all of the time. The side effects are going down, they're diminishing, or they're not there for certain meds to a certain extent. So, you know, there's a lot that can be done, and it is important at this point in time to get tested and know where you're at. Now, you may get tested and the doctor says you're positive, he still may not put you on meds for 2 to 5 years. Did you know that? Does that surprise you? A lot of people that really surprises, they think instantly they're on medicine. But for a lot of people, they test them and it's recent and they may not put them on meds for a few years.
But I think it's a very life transformative thing to get to be positive. For one, that's why prevention is so important. You really don't want to go there if you could do all the easy things to prevent it from happening. It's like if someone told you, okay, from this day forward, you're going to be an insulin-dependent diabetic. Boom. Mm-hmm. Now, you can control that a lot with your diet, and you can have a good life. Mm-hmm. But you still have all of those risks that can definitely kill you.
And that is so interesting, because when I opened the cottage and the new Miracle AIDS meds came out, I thought, well, that was a waste. I just spent a year putting this place together. Now we know how to prevent HIV. Now we have meds to treat it. There's going to be no need for us. And here we are with 16,000 positive people in the Dallas area alone. Mm-hmm. Isn't that shocking? And I guess I was all of pretty young. Let's just go with that. But, you know, so naive to think, well, we know how to prevent HIV. Let's just, people can use condoms and we'll be in good shape. And it's pretty naive looking back. But, yes, you're right, prevention. You know, the other thing that makes me really sad is when I'm out in the community a lot. I promise you I've been to more gay bars than the majority of gay people in town. Because, you know, the community is, I'm telling you. You know, the gay community has been so supportive of Legacy, and I'm constantly going out to the Roundup and to all these different bars and restaurants, and they're supporting us and raising money for us. It's really, it never ceases to amaze and shock me and please me at how giving the community is. It's really ridiculous, but I always, again, am talking to everyone as I do it, and they think, oh, well, I'm bound to get it someday, so why even bother trying to prevent it?
Oh, this what an is, attitude.
Oh, this is very common, very common, especially with young people who didn't grow up looking at haggard gay people who are with HIV, you know.
They didn't lose 100 of their friends.
They didn't lose 100 of their friends. They think, oh, there's a med, and I'll probably get it anyway. Really breaks my heart because I, you know, I'm the phone call. My phone, when someone gets diagnosed at the health department or one of these other agencies that test for HIV, they get my cell phone number. They can call me 24 hours a day. And I'll get them into Legacy, and we'll get them going, and we can hold their hand from day one, and we can help them throughout the struggles throughout their life. And then if they are sick, we can help them at Legacy Founders Cottage.
Do you think the advancement in the drugs, do you think there's it's kind of had a counterintuitive effect in that a lot of young people don't think it's a big deal if they do test positive? Oh, I can go pop a pill, and I'll be fine.
Yeah, two words, Magic Johnson. He looks amazing. He looks great. People think, oh, he's cured. I hear people think he's cured. Okay, P.S., there is no cure for HIV, you know.
There's not.
The meds, you can look perfectly fine. You can't tell if someone's positive. Yeah, I do think for some people, they think, oh, well, if I do, what's the big deal? I'll just get on meds. But these meds do have side effects. They're tough to take. And like you said, it's a life-transforming experience.
And not everyone can take them.
Well, yeah, and it gets very complicated, but basically... Well, and let's just move to the next thing. A lot of people are like, oh, I'm scared to get tested because then I won't be able to get insurance. Well, guess what? If you get tested and you're positive, you're going to have to go to the doctor anyway. So P.S., cat's out of the bag, the insurance company knows. But guess what? You need that treatment. That is life-saving, life-preserving treatment. Mm-hmm. Not treating HIV, you know, it goes into your body. The way I explain it to people, and, you know, for years I sat through these wonderful drug company elaborate PowerPoint presentations, and I'm like eating my free salad and being very excited about that salad. But finally it was explained to me in a way that I understood, and I tell other people, think of a spaceship. That's like the T cell. The virus lands on the spaceship. It breaks in the door. It bangs around. It makes copies of itself, and it kicks the door out the back and goes out, and all those thousands that get out go out and find other T cells, and there you go. Now, isn't that easy to understand? Some of the meds work by stopping it from landing and planting on there. Some prevent it from getting in the door. Some prevent it from banging around. Some prevent it from making copies. And some prevent it from leaving. You get on a cocktail. It's a combination of a few of those. So it stops the virus in three different places. When people don't get tested and they're positive, their body is becoming an HIV virus-making machine. And they're just going out, and the T cells that are there to protect you when you get sick are now being made into an, you know, weapon of mass destruction of your body. And it's affecting you. It's affecting you neurologically, physically. It's hurting you. So not dealing with it is dumb. Let me just put it that way. It's ridiculous. So that's the last thing. People think, if I don't get tested, then I don't have it.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Out of sight, out of mind. And they also think, oh, well, then if I don't get tested and don't find out I have it, then I don't have to tell anybody I have it, and therefore I can still keep having unprotected sex. Okay, let's just say bad karma, okay? One of these days you're going to have to deal with it, and you're going to be very miserable with it if you don't ever treat it, and then you're going to think about all those people that you did that to. That's not a good feeling. And I've dealt with a lot of clients who have a lot of guilt and remorse for the years they had unprotected sex, and that they have done this to another. They're angry people did it to them, and now here they've done it to these other people. So that is a really tough thing, and I think this goes comes down. Let's get deep here, because it's 7:17 in the morning. It's early enough to get deep. You know, one, now we're going to get core here. I'm a therapist as well. I think that fear of getting tested is deep down all of us. This pertains to everybody. We all have a fear if people really knew me, they wouldn't like me or love me. We all know we're very imperfect. We're all beautifully imperfect, but I think we all know we have these flaws, and we think on some level we're broken or unlovable. This is a fear we all have. If people really knew me, they wouldn't like me. So when you have a problem like HIV, you feel like I'm dinged, I'm damaged, I'm bruised. That's the first thing people say to me. I'm trash. I'm ruined. Nobody will ever want me.
It also, they some might feel that they're branded. Like, okay, you're one of them.
Yeah.
And I, not that I understand it, but I see that coming from, no offense, but from, you know, the heterosexual population at large. But it really surprises me that we even have that in the gay community.
I think even more in the gay community.
Yeah.
And people are embarrassed, and people are ashamed. They know how to prevent it. You know, on the whole, I would say most people in the gay community know condoms prevent HIV.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have to say no offense to Melissa.
You know, I'm never offended.
She's fully aware that even though she's one of them,
that's
she's
right.
fully accepted in the LGBT.
I would hope so, because I was the Grand Marshal in the Gay Pride Parade.
Yes, you are.
Yes. So there you go. I have a plaque to prove it.
Yes, you do.
But yes, I think you're right. People are... They're afraid that now that I, you know, once I come out, especially as a gay person, that, oh, I'll be in a different category.
We're talking to Melissa Grove. She's the executive director of Legacy Counseling. Melissa, we just have a few seconds, but give us the, if somebody needs your services.
Sure. If somebody needs counseling from Legacy Counseling Center, 214-520-6308, extension 1. And the lovely Kim will be there to answer your call, if not leave a message, and we'll get back to you. And also, if you are in crisis and you call that number, you will hear my cell phone.
Mm-hmm. And Melissa, you will get back to them. And if you need to get tested, the number at the Resource Center here is 214-528-2336. That's if you're in the Dallas area, in Fort Worth, AIDS Outreach Center is a great place for testing. And outlying areas, Health Services of North Texas, which does a number of the rural communities.
And any doctor can do it.
Sure. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
If your garage is getting a little cramped for space, upsize it by moving out that old car you don't need anymore. The KNON Vehicle Donation Program is here to take your old car, truck, or motorcycle that's cluttering your garage. Just call 877-KNON-AUTO or go online at knon.org to make your donation. Our representative will come out, pick up your vehicle, and leave you with a cleaner garage. They'll handle the paperwork, and most importantly, your donation will go to support great community radio. The number to call is 877-KNON-AUTO or donate online at knon.org.
Small business owners, KNON has partnered with CBeyond, an IT services and communication provider offering local and long-distance calling, conferencing, high-speed internet, mobile, BlackBerry, broadband, laptop access, voicemail, email, web hosting, fax to email, data backup, cloud servers, and more. KNON thanks CBeyond for all of these support services. CBeyond donates services to KNON based on referrals. For more information, the email address is knon@cbeyond.net. That's knon@cbeyond.net.
89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people. You are listening to North Texas Folka Radio.
You're not listening to Polka Radio. That's the second thing, and they have this set on continuous. And that's the first time we've done that in the morning, but we usually do those things in the afternoon. It's time for the entertainment report.
Good old times. The legendary Elizabeth Taylor, not only remembered as a great film actress, but also as a great AIDS philanthropist. And in her death, she's still contributing. Most of Elizabeth's fortune, estimated to be worth $600 million. I didn't know she was that rich.
Oh, they were saying possibly a billion.
Well, at least. Is going to, most of her money is going to go to AIDS charities, including AMFAR, the AIDS charity that she helped found in 1985. Now, her famous jewelry collection is going to be auctioned off, and they're saying that alone is worth an eye-popping $150 million. That's a lot of jewelry.
That is a lot of jewelry.
And the bulk of those proceeds will go to the Elizabeth Taylor AIDS Foundation. She will be missed.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, last week as I was leaving the show, I was in traffic and my cell phone was popping because I subscribed to, you know, AP Newswire alerts and stuff, and it was all, everybody was telling me, you know, Elizabeth Taylor just died.
Right.
And so I was listening to that other station, and they had this montage ready to go like that, polished, beautiful little clips, sound clips from movies and stuff, and I thought, okay, well, they must write these things. Like, the second they turn 65, write an obit on Elizabeth Taylor or whoever, so that they're ready to go.
Yeah, how do you have something ready that quick?
Or younger if you're Lindsay Lohan.
Right, right.
They've got hers ready, too.
Bring that number down for Lindsay.
Well, but the person who wrote the obituary in the New York Times had
died
3 or 4 years ago.
He died in 2005.
Oh, are you serious?
The one they printed in the paper for Elizabeth Taylor, the writer of that obit, died in 2005.
Wow.
So, if they do write them well ahead.
Well, then I'll assume they already have one written for Zsa Zsa.
I would assume so.
I would assume so.
Yeah. But none of us yet.
No, I hope not.
Probably not till after the fact for most of us here.
Best known for her role on TV show The Nanny, Fran Drescher is coming back to the world of sitcoms in a new one called Happily Divorced. Now, in the comedy, Fran plays a florist who turns single after finding out that a realtor husband of 18 years is gay. The show is definitely a case of art imitating life, since Fran herself divorced her real-life husband, producer Marc Jacobson, after 21 years of marriage, after learning that he was gay.
And that's exactly what our show was about last week.
I know, and I thought it'd be a perfect time, but I wasn't here. Now, the two have reunited, professionally anyway. They are co-producing this new sitcom, Happily Divorced. It's been picked up for 10 episodes on TV Land. Hip-hop legend and mogul Russell Simmons was recently honored with the Glass Excellence in Media Award for his support for the LGBT rights in New York City. And the award was presented to him by Reverend Al Sharpton. During his speech, Russell praised his mentor, Al Sharpton, for his efforts in fighting for LGBT rights, and also said, quote, "It's no secret that faith-based communities in some cases have been difficult. And I think for that, all of us who step outside of our comfort zone and fight for the rights of others, we are blessed." Earlier this year, Simmons recorded a video for his support of gay marriage in New York. So I think that's really, he sticks out as almost an anomaly. You know, he is in the hip-hop world, so I thought that was really important for him to do that. And good for Glad for honoring him.
Very cool.
And you have an entertainment story.
Yes. In fact, a beloved screen idol died, Barley Granger. I loved him in Rope, Hitchcock's classics, and Strangers on a Train. But he really, really loved theater once he was on the stage. That's really where he was happiest. But he considered himself bisexual, spent most of his life with his partner, Robert Calhoun, who was a producer, did things like The Guiding Light and some other things. But he was also linked in the past with Shelley Winters, particularly.
Yeah, that's what little I do know about him.
A little on and off thing. He called her the bane of his existence. But he said he did live with a man for the rest of his life, so maybe that was the most satisfying thing for him, to live his life with Robert Calhoun, who died several years ago before him. Mm. But he was 85. Anyway.
Long time.
And that's this week's Those Darn... No, that's the... That's this week's what do you call it? Entertainment report. Thank you, Laurent. Those darn heterosexuals.
We should get started on David's obit. I think he's reaching that age.
Had trouble with mornings.
David has trouble with a lot of things.
We are talking today to Melissa Grove. She's the executive director of Legacy Counseling, and we're talking about some of the psychological effects that people have. In dealing with HIV and finding out about their status. So we've already been talking about just the denial that people go through. They don't even want to be tested. But once somebody is tested, isn't there a lot of, I can't let anyone know?
Yes, and I have my little Melissa primer to how to deal with it. You know, right off the bat, when you find out you're positive, even if you have had friends who are positive or... you thought you saw it coming, it is a shock. You are stunned. You know, what is the first thing that happens when you shut the door to your car and realize the keys are in there? What do you say? No. Denial. After denial is anger. You're angry at yourself. You're angry. You're shocked. You're stunned. You're confused. You feel like this is the end of the world.
And angry at the person... who transmitted it to you.
Yes, angry at the person who transmitted it to you. So there's a lot of anger, and then a lot of times that anger turns inward to depression. So sometimes there's bargaining. So the stages of denial work for, you know, for death and dying are the same. DABDA, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. Like I said, with my car keys, you shut the door, you go, no. Then you're like mad. Oh, great. Then bargaining. Maybe the other side is unlocked. Then depression. Oh, man, this is really locked. Then acceptance. Well, I guess I got to call the locksmith. So these are the stages of depression and anger. I mean,
call the locksmith. I thought it was, I'll just break the window.
Well, some of us break the window. I guess Dave is a window breaker. So, you know, people are in anger. They're shocked. They're stunned. They're embarrassed. They're ashamed. They're stunned. They don't know what to do. Even if they have... friends who have this, it's often a complete shock. So sometimes they won't deal with it for a while. What I say is, this is private information. You wouldn't go up to someone at a party and tell them, I have hemorrhoids. Why? That's too personal. Well, what is more personal than finding out you have HIV? It's very personal information. Guess what? Not everybody deserves that information. You want to be selective about who you tell. Make no mistake, this is information that can be held against you by your employer, by your friends, by your family. You don't know.
The one that it can't be held against you by anymore because of the new health care law is your insurance company.
Yes, that's supposed to be part of, you know, it's a pre-existing condition. But, you know, you have to be careful about who you tell because, for one thing, you need to take care of yourself. If you tell your aging mother and she's freaking out, then you have to take care of her. So maybe you do want to take a little bit of time and take care of yourself instead of caretaking for others. But you do need to find somebody to share this burden with. And if you don't have a person in your life that you trust completely to do that, that's where Legacy is a very perfect example of a place you can go and have a completely safe environment. People who are used to positive people every day, all day. And you can come to Legacy and get that support you need so you can sort it out. But guess what? You don't have to do anything today. You can go a couple of weeks and do nothing if you choose to. What's dangerous is if you completely stick your head in the sand and don't deal with it.
And you're saying you don't have to tell your elderly mother, you don't have to tell other people in your family.
Right off the bat.
Okay.
And, you know, down the road, I mean, I think it is your information to tell. Considering you can be positive and be asymptomatic, if somebody got infected today, they may not show symptoms for 10 to 15 years.
Right.
And then when you get on meds, you're going to be healthy, and you possibly can live a normal lifespan, probably, if everything falls into place.
Well, but some people aren't going to do that well on the drugs, and even if you're not going to die from the disease right away, you're going to have reactions to the drugs and get sick, and until your medication is adjusted and you go on a different medication that you have a better reaction mm-hmm. to, you're going to be sick from it.
For some people.
For mm-hmm. some people. So hiding it is kind of difficult. What's wrong with you? Oh, I just had the flu. No.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and David, you may be at a higher level of acceptance of being gay, of being positive or whatever. You know, some people are not there yet. I don't know if you're positive or not. I just threw that out there. But, you know, not everybody is as evolved to be as comfortable in their own skin to be like, this is me, take it or leave it. I mean, a lot of us are dealing with struggles and issues with coping with just who we are, period, our family, this and that. So I guess what I'm saying is before you immediately find out you're positive and go tell everybody, take a minute, because a lot of people wish they could take it back from certain key people. Like I said, it's a very private thing, and you want to do it carefully and thoughtfully. While you may be falling apart and you're crying in the bathroom at work, somebody walks in, they go, what's wrong? I'm positive. Okay. They're not supposed to discriminate against a positive person in a workplace environment. P.S., it happens anyway. Mm-hmm. So, you know, get your head together first and then figure out what you want to do. You know, people, they feel it, they call me, they feel like their lives are just completely shattered. And I said, guess what? A month ago, you were positive as well and everything was fine. Mm-hmm. Today, physically, nothing has changed. You just have one little thing, a tiny piece of information. That's all that's different between a month ago and today. You have awareness, and it's awareness that's a good thing, because that awareness is going to keep you from getting really sick. So it's a good thing. Even though it feels like your world is shattered, you're the exact same person you were a month ago, and you're going to find people to support you and build a... Like, if you have a stool with one leg, that's a pretty crummy stool. You have a leg stool with two legs, that's not a good stool. Even three, it's gonna, with a little bit of pressure, that's not going to stand up. You want to put legs of support underneath yourself. So you have a solid stump of support so you can handle whatever comes your way.
Before we talk about how you would actually come out to other people about being positive, for people who are positive in the LGBT community, chances are they've come out to other people already as being gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender. But in the straight community, and half of the people who have HIV are straight, and lots of our listeners, especially now in mourning, are straight. So this is not just a gay issue that we're talking about at all. But in the gay community, people have come out already. Do you find that straight people have a harder time coming out?
Oh, yes, I do. I'm not going to diminish how difficult it is for gay people to come out. It's still very difficult. Mm-hmm. But for the straight people, yes, and we obviously have lots of straight clients at Legacy. An example, just from, and I'm changing the details, but I have clients who tell people that they have leukemia, and they research a rare leukemia, and that's how they get out of going to work and go to their doctor's appointments, and they have to live a second life and pretend like they're somebody they're not, because they feel like, if I say this to my right-wing boss, that I'm going to be fired.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of people, in a parallel in the GLBT community, is when you make up a spouse or partner or boyfriend or girlfriend of the opposite gender in order to pass, mm-hmm. so to speak, at work, so nobody questions, you know, who you mm-hmm. are. It's a lie. It's a lie, but it's what you do as a coping mechanism mm-hmm. to get through.
Right, and, you know, that's a very good point, because denial is a coping mechanism. I tell my clients, listen, if you're taking your meds and doing what your doctor says and not infecting anybody else, I give you permission to never think about this. Mm-hmm. In fact, studies show people who, as long as they're taking care of those basic things I just mentioned, they actually do better than people who overly obsess about it. Mm. Because this is a piece of the pie of who you are. It's not everything. Mm-hmm. Now, as we're talking about this, some of your listeners probably have other health concerns or family abuse issues or traumas. It's all of this really pertains to everyone. It's a slice of who you are. It's a piece of what makes you who you are. It is not you. It is something that can be managed. You know, a lot of people, they think, oh, if I found out I was positive, I'd kill myself. Well, you know, chances are, and, you know, I said, David, you keep saying a lot of people don't do well on the meds. These days, a lot of people do very well on the meds. It's very rare that people don't do well on the meds if they take them religiously. You do have to take the meds with a 95% accuracy to get the optimal effect. The worst thing that happens is when people get on the meds and they skip doses. Basically, what you're doing is providing an environment for the virus to mutate and make it tougher to get, and you're ruining treatment options. So if you and your doctor decide to get you on the meds, you better make that commitment, because that's what's going to keep you healthy. At our AIDS hospice housing facility, or our special care facility, I've never met anybody who's religiously taken their meds down there. It's people who've skipped doses. It's people who've taken drug vacations. But more often than not, it's people who are in denial and never bother getting tested. Then one day they get very sick dramatically. They get carried off in an ambulance. They're 3 months in the hospital with an opportunist infection because they never dealt with it. And sad thing at the cottage is we get a lot of people after 3 months at a hospital. I won't name any names, but there's several that fall into the category of private hospital. They've lost their jobs. You know, what would happen if you didn't show up for your job for 3 months? And they lost their job and all their possessions and all their housing, and because they were too sick. And then they come to our house, and we get to try to get them back on, and help get them on the meds, get them integrated into the public health system, try to find housing, which is extremely challenging in this city, and get them healthy and get them better and get them back out there. And all of this could be prevented if someone just went and had a simple test. I want to say something about the test. There's two tests you can get. One is a blood test, and it takes a week to get the results. Another one is an aura swab. OraSure, where they swab the side of your mouth. It's completely painless, and you know within 15, 20 minutes. I will tell you that 15, 20 minutes is a very contemplative 15, 20 minutes where you review your sexual history, where you sit there and think about it.
Your drug history, or whatever.
The week is worse.
This is why I say do the aura swab. If it's another $10 or whatever, it's worth it, believe me, because otherwise you're going to be stressing for a week. And once you test and you're negative, great. But it may take a few months for the virus to show up. CDC says up to 6 months. Usually I think it's 2 to 4 months. Mm-hmm. But you need to probably retest and then do it on a regular basis. You get your teeth cleaned once or twice a year, hopefully. Get your test twice a year. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're not as sexually active, then it may be a different situation. The CDC, the doctors used to have to ask your permission and get it in writing. Now doctors can just say, okay, we're going to test you for a bunch of things, and they can test you for HIV verbally, which is great. Okay, so let's talk about worst-case scenario, which is what everybody is stressed about. Let's say you find out you're positive. We just talked a little bit about who do you tell.
And we'll talk about how do you tell also.
Yeah.
We're going to do that after the break. We're talking to Melissa Grove. She's from Legacy Counseling Center. If you have some concerns that are HIV-related and you would like to talk to somebody, the number to call is?
214-520-6308, extension 1.
And to get tested in Dallas at the Nelson Thibodeau Clinic, which is on Cedar Springs Road, the number is 214-528-2336. AIDS Outreach Center in Fort Worth does testing. Health Services of North Texas is another great organization that does testing. AIDS Arms down in Oak Cliff also does testing. I don't have all of those numbers here, but easy to access those online. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
Do you need free help with your taxes? I'm State Senator Royce West to tell you about United Way's free tax preparation services. IRS-certified tax preparers will ensure individuals or families who earned less than $50,000 last year receive the highest refund possible. Sites open through April in convenient locations. They're open days, evenings, and weekends. To locate the free United Way tax preparation site near you, simply dial 211. Thank you.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
Okay, now it's time for, because we did it the wrong time before, it's time for
Those Darn Heterosexuals. The General Authority of Islamic Affairs and Endowments in Abu Dhabi issued new rules governing everyday life. Those darn heterosexuals have decreed that half-sisters may now shake hands with their brothers, even if their mother is Christian.
Some heterosexuals do learn from their experiences. Kendrick Wilson, 19, was booked into jail in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, on a minor misdemeanor charge. When a routine search revealed a bag of cocaine, Wilson cursed and said, "I knew I shouldn't have brought that in." Right.
And an Israeli model was posing with a boa constrictor when the snake suddenly sank its teeth into her left breast. The model was fine after a tetanus shot, but the snake died from silicone poisoning.
Oh, I hate it when that happens.
This week's
Those Darn Heterosexuals.
And we know they're all true because they come from Fox News. We are talking today to Melissa Grove. She is from Legacy Counseling Center. We're talking about the psychological side of HIV. And we were just getting in before the break. We were just getting into the idea of how do you reveal your status to somebody. So it's one of those things. Obviously, you have to know the other person and know how to do it. And there might never be a right way with some people. But
so I have, over the years, over 18 years of doing this, I've kind of come up with my quick and easy ways to tell people about how to do this. You know, like I said, to refresh, after you find out you're positive, take a minute, find one supportive person at least, you know, get your bearings, get a grip, come up with a plan, get in with a doctor, find out where you're at, okay? Once you know what is going on, you're going to feel more in control. Okay, so then you care.
And when you say know where you're at, you're talking about where the disease has progressed in your body.
Yeah. Maybe. Do you you may get tested? You may get a different test from the doctor, and he says, "Okay, well, we're not going to have to put you on meds for a while, so we'll just wait and see, and take care of yourself, and we'll see you in 6 months." Or it may say, "Wow, this has gone on. We're going to put you on this regime, and we're going to retest you. Here's the medicines that we want you to take." So you just kind of want to know what's happening, okay? Because knowledge is power. So you get your plan, and then let's say you get on the meds. You're going to have to adjust to the meds, but it's not as bad as it used to be. It's getting better all the time, but you go through generally 2 to 6 weeks of side effects, and guess what? You cope with them just like anything else you would cope with. So as you go on, you decide who is valuable in my life, that sharing this information is something that I want to do. You get to pick. You want to pick people you can trust who are not going to go blab it to everybody. This is your story to tell. So I do think at first you're really careful about who you tell. Does your 98-year-old grandmother need to know? Maybe not. Maybe not ever. Maybe that, you know, considering you... If you get on the meds and you catch it early enough, you might live a normal lifespan anyway. It may just freak her out, you know. Why am I telling this person? What am I hoping to get out of it is an interesting question. Maybe you're inclined to tell your boss, but then maybe you think the better of it, you know. So you have to make some very careful decisions, thoughtful decisions, after you've been educated. So then let's talk about romantic partners, because that's what everybody's very interested in. Whoa. Now, if you're already with someone and already sleeping with someone, this pushes the severity of how quickly you have to tell them up quite a bit, because they probably need to get tested as well. Okay?
They need to do exactly what you've done.
Exactly.
Go and get tested, find
right.
out where you are, get informed, be aware.
Exactly. And there's a lot of what they call serodiscordant couples. One is positive and one is negative. I see it all the time. So just because your partner's positive doesn't mean you're positive necessarily.
And on the other hand, you might have gotten it from your partner.
Absolutely. So let's just skip that for a second and go straight to the dating situation.
So what I was going to say was, so no blame.
Well, I think people always find ways to blame, David. Come on. Blame is always there. You know, because people are angry and scared. You know, they lash out. So, no, you infected me. No, you infected me. I mean, sometimes the doctors can tell who's had it longer, you know. That settles that argument around the house. But anyway, obviously raises a whole other set of issues. But let's just talk about, let's keep it simple for a second, talk about dating. Now, again, for people who aren't positive, this goes for everything. Well, You have to do this before you sleep with someone, because otherwise they will be very angry at you. Okay, and I have seen people get very angry because the person's been sleeping with them, and then they tell them. So the minute you know, or we're going to dating and you have never slept with this person, so you decide if you want them, if they're valuable and worth keeping. Some of these people in this world, just because they like you doesn't mean you have to date them. So is this somebody you're really willing to invest time, energy? Is this someone you trust? Is this someone you see a future with in some way? The answer is no. Why are you with them in the first place? One of the good gifts of HIV is it can make you be better picker, more selective about who you pick if you play your cards right. So you sit them down and you say, God, I have really enjoyed hanging out with you, spending time with you. This has really been fun. Before things, you know, I really like you. Before things go to the next step, you know, I need to tell you some stuff about me. Back when I was in college, I was dating this guy. He was really great. Everything was going good. What I call tell your story. And he was so fantastic, and we were really happy, and we broke up. And then a month ago, I heard that he had died of AIDS. I was really scared. I went and got tested, and I found out I was positive. So you tell your story. Then you say, what this means is, I went to the doctor, and in a couple of years, I might have to get on medication. Or, I went to the doctor, and I had to get on medication, and I'll probably have to take it for the time being, for quite a while. And it means if we decide to pursue a sexual relationship, then we're going to have to use condoms. And, you know, if you have any questions or anything like that, I'd be happy to answer them. I encourage you to educate yourself. If you figure out, you know, this isn't for you, I understand. So,
or get tested now.
Yeah. Yeah. Good, and then say, probably not a bad thing for you to get tested, even though it's a good thing for all of us to do. But you tell your story. You have a plan. Because if you are freaking out, they will be freaking out. If you're falling apart, they'll be falling apart.
And if you don't know the answers to some of these questions, like, you know, you tell somebody, I just got the test, and I haven't seen the doctor yet to go over what's going to happen, that's probably not a good time to share that information until you get more information yourself.
And I think you need to know your audience. If it's a lifelong friend, maybe, yes, that's okay, but then if it's a new person you're just dating, you may want a minute to get a grip there. So you tell your story, you have a plan, you stay together, and then you tell them what this means is that if we do pursue a sexual relationship, we use protection, and then what I call give them an out. Say, you know, if I'd love to keep going out, if this is too much for you, I understand, because it's like that, if you love something, set it free. Often the people who, if somebody goes, oh, I don't care, that's fine, well, then you need to break up with them because they're stupid. Right? You know, if someone is that cavalier with their health, be gone with you. I don't need you in my life.
Well, although, yes, that's fine, sometimes means, yes, I understand. I know lots of other people mm-hmm. with HIV. And mm-hmm. I think that might be a difference between...
Yes, yes.
So I see
what you're saying,
You're saying from, I think, a different perspective than somebody like me, where half the people I know are HIV
exactly,
positive,
yeah.
where... I stopped counting how many people I lost to HIV when I realized that I was counting, and I hit the number 50. And I said, ooh, this isn't healthy for me to even be counting.
Yeah.
And that was more than 20 years ago. And so if somebody tells me that they're HIV positive, I might not be as cavalier as you just said, but when coming from me, yeah, I understand, and anything I can do to help is different
it's
than
fine.
Somebody
yes,
who's...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, if they say, oh, that's fine, I don't care, we don't have to use protection, that's when they're stupid, again.
Yeah,
and it's both if someone's completely so uneducated but they don't care anyway, or if they just still don't want to use protection, no, go away. Now, if you tell them and they leave, good, because guess what? In life, you're going to have many difficulties. You're going to have many challenges. You could have cancer next week. You could have a traumatic experience with your family. You don't want someone who is going to flake out on you at the first sign of trouble. I often have found, and I found this very interesting, people who've had a series of bad relationships, and then they get into a relationship, they find out they're positive, they get more careful about who they pick, they take their time, they slow it down, then they reveal it at the appropriate time. They often end up with, and the person decides to stay, that ends up being the best relationship of their life. Because now all of a sudden they've added gravity to the value of who they are. A lot of this stuff goes back to how you feel about yourself. If you're confident and happy in who you are and you know, yes, I'm all bruised, banged, and dinged up, but I'm a valuable person, then you're going to have an easier time coping with this. If you deep down have core issues with your self-esteem and about your value, then this is going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
That's how to tell a partner, how to tell a friend, how to tell a boss, telling family.
I use the same components. One, tell your story, take out the juicy parts as best you can. Mom doesn't want to know that. And you could say, I've got some information that you might find a little difficult to hear, but everything's under control. So we're back to the, you keep, if you're falling apart, they're going to fall apart. And you could say, I did find, you know, I went to the doctor, I was kind of concerned about something, I found out I was HIV positive. What this means is, I'm going to have to take a pill every day for probably the rest of my life at the moment. Who knows what is in the future. The doctor says I'm very healthy and I should probably live a normal lifespan. But I wanted to let you know because this is something going on with me. Now, that didn't sound too scary, did it? What if you do have scarier information to tell? Well, you know, that information could be, like I said, about cancer or some other problem. HIV is particularly tricky because there's a social stigma. There's a political stigma. There's a sexuality stigma. There's all these stigmas, so it kind of adds a whole ball of crazy around a problem that is a health issue. HIV is an STD. Think about that. It's a very serious STD.
One of the odd things about it, though, is that very often for a gay person, not only to parents, not only are they coming out as having HIV, they're mm-hmm. also coming out as gay at the
oh,
same
yeah.
time. But I would think with straight people who have HIV coming out to other people, they might have contracted it heterosexually.
Oh, yes.
Lots of people do.
And let's not forget IV drug abusers. Well, so we say it's an STD, mm-hmm. but this is...
Well,
this
that's true.
There's a huge transmission yeah. pathway here that's not sexual at all.
That's
but
right.
you do have to come out as heterosexual.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that you have to or that you should have to, mm-hmm. but it could be a husband reassuring his wife. I don't know if that's reassuring, or somebody I got this, but it was with another woman.
Oh, thank goodness. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I think it goes back to telling your story. Mm-hmm. You know, if you just blurt out that information, I'm positive, that's going to freak people out. Mm-hmm. But everybody can relate to, back in college, I was really wild, and I just was free of the house, and I did a lot of crazy things under the influence of drugs and alcohol. And then, you know, here I am 7 years later, and I went to get life insurance and found out I was positive.
And that brings up, some people do find out under odd circumstances, like when they're pregnant. Mostly
yes.
women.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Legacy is an HIV-positive women's program with 80 women in it. We take them on an annual retreat every year, although I didn't get my funding this year, so if anybody was interested in supporting that event, this will be the first year in 10 years I'm not going to be able to do it. But anyway... We have 80 positive women. Believe me, every one of them was stunned. And you keep mentioning IV drug use. That does happen, absolutely, but the majority of HIV infection I see from substance abuse is people just making really dumb decisions. Not as much as the straight-up IV drug use, although that is a mode of transmission, absolutely. But anyway, these days when you get pregnant, they test you. Then right before you have the baby, they test you. So a lot of the women in our program, that's how they found out.
And they're testing you twice because?
Well, because you can get infected during your pregnancy. So let me ask you this, David. If you are a pregnant woman, mm-hmm. I'm sure you can relate to this.
I can.
Let's all perish the thought and uh-huh. the image.
So David is a pregnant woman, and you are positive, and you did what the doctor said. What is the chance your baby will become positive?
It's very, very low now, I know.
It is. It's not fun doing this with David because he's pretty educated,
yeah,
so I like it. But yes, it's
but
very...
But it used to be high.
Oh, yes. And if you don't do it right, your baby can still become infected. But that doesn't mean you can't have a child. And if you're a positive male, they can do sperm washing and you can still have a child. So a little more complicated, but there you go. Another way people find out, like I said, is if you go get life insurance, they test you, mm-hmm. you know. You may go for your annual physical, and the doctor may throw that test in. because he only has to have a verbal agreement. So, you know, the CDC actually has recommended that everybody, I think they said from 13 to 60, get tested for HIV. They didn't say on an annual basis, but they basically just recognized the urgency of getting more people tested and the value of doing that. Tested for HIV, that doesn't do anything to your insurance. Okay?
I'm going
to
go beyond 60.
Yeah.
When a few months before my father died, and he was in his late 80s, the nursing home called me, and just to make sure that it didn't bother me that he had taken up and is living with another woman in the nursing home. And I said, and it wanted to make sure I didn't mind. I said, no, I hope I have those genes. So I'm going to keep getting tested beyond 60. Melissa, we're just about out of time. Yeah. I want to thank you so much. Again, your phone number is?
214-520-6308, extension 302. That's my personal one, and extension 1 for Kim. We're always there for you. Call us anytime. We'd love to support and help you.
Good. And
thank you for being here.
If you want to get tested, 214-528-2336. Melissa, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Listening to the KNON Morning Line, we'd like to remind you that the views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNON 89.3 FM.